Well, praise the Lord. Welcome back to Good News from a Far Country. Great to have you on board this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you again for this opportunity, Lord, to preach the unsearchable riches of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you get in this thing, make something of it. And Father, we'll thank you in advance for what you'll do. Not what you might do, Father, what you'll do. We're going to ask you to do something this morning and ask you to stir up the saints. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to preach you a message simply titled, Obadiah Could Have Been a Contender. Look with me in 1 Kings chapter 18, if you will. We'll do a little bit of reading here. Obadiah could have been a contender. 1 Kings chapter 18, we'll pick it up in verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of God came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him, and he fell on his face and said, Art thou that, my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass as soon as I'm gone from thee that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. I want to preach to you this morning a sad story about a guy named Obadiah who did one great thing for the Lord and never did another. He did one great thing for the Lord and he hung his hat on that. And he would brag and tell that story and retell that story over and over and over again. But he never came to greatness for the Lord again. And the tragedy is, here's Elijah, and he's coming to seek Ahab. And God had to call Elijah all the way over to seek Ahab when there was a prophet already there. But God couldn't use him. Obadiah could have been a contender. Obadiah should have been the one. But God couldn't use him. You know, that could have been a contender. That's a quote. Famous quote from a Hollywood movie in which Marlon Brando starred in. A movie some of you probably know and already thought of it when I gave you the title of the message. It's from the movie On the Waterfront in 1954. The complete quote is this: I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which is what I am. Let's face it. The whole context of that movie was Brando plays boxer Terry Malloy, who was a talented young boxer who had a promising future and is convinced by the mob to throw a fight. And of course, it subsequently ruins his career. And now all that he has left is regrets. You know, like Frank Sinatra, regrets. I had a few from his song, I Did It My Way in 1969. Yeah, Frank Sinatra did it his way. And he's in hell for it. Because there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the end of death. Amen. And here you have Obadiah, who pictures, if you will, a saved but a worldly minister. Amen. 1 foot in for God, 1 foot out in the world. Amen. On the fence. Amen. On the fence. Lukewarm, desirous of an easy walk, or the, if you will, the velvet or the silk cross that so many pastors hide behind today. Meanwhile, your Savior, when he hung on that cross, that rough sawn wood that rubbed against his back, that was broken up in ribbons from the cat and nine tails, from the scourging of the Roman centurions. And he rubbed up against that rough sawn cross. And yet the preachers today have put silk on it or velvet on it. Obadiah is so typical of most Christians who, having accomplished something for the Lord once in their lifetime, have now retired from service, if you will, and are ready to brag or promote themselves to anyone, especially those who might convict them. They hang their hat on that one moment. Oh, they like to talk about the glory days. You know, when they were actually doing something for the Lord. It reminds me of Eliphaz the Temanite. In Job chapter 4, he had the same disease Obadiah did. He had one special moment happen in his life that he hung his hat on and would brag to anybody that would listen. In Job chapter 4, verse 12, now a thing was secretly brought to me, Eliphaz says, as he meets Job for the first time. And mine ear received a little thereof, and thoughts from the visions of the night. When deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, the hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice. And here's Eliphaz, and he hung his hat on that, and he would tell anybody that would hear it. And he gained a position at the gate, and he gained notoriety in his city because of that. The tragedy of it's never revealed whether the spirit was a satanic one or a holy one, but it didn't matter. And he gained a position because of that. And he'd tell all that listened. Amen. He had one remarkable experience in his life, and that was enough for him. It's interesting to note about Eliphaz that he remains a hard, cruel dogmatist, living in the past, and apparently bitter and jealous. And that's why he attacks his quote-unquote friend, Job. You know what he was? He was the one-trick pony. He was the one-trick pony, just like Obadiah. Let me tell you something, Christian. God doesn't live in the past. God doesn't live in the past like you do. Listen, your past glory, your past accomplishments for the Lord may sustain you with Him for a little bit. But I'm telling you right now, your God is a what have you done for me lately, God. Christianity doesn't end with one shining moment. I remember I had a lady in our church years and years ago. She's long gone now. And I learned as a pastor early on that you don't throw it out to the congregation and ask somebody to help you. I learned this from my pastor. That rarely works. The best way to work is have Lord put somebody on your heart that you would think would be best for the task. And then go ahead face to face and ask them to do it. And most times they'll accept that and they'll do it for you. And I went up to this particular lady and asked her to do a task for me. And what she said next floored me, and she's become the illustration of messages of mine ever since then. She looked at me and she said, "Nope, I think I've done enough for the Lord and think I am currently doing enough for the Lord. Ask somebody else." And what I was asking her to do was of no financial burden or no great time-consuming burden at all. It was a very simple task. But she had determined in her life that she'd done enough for the Lord. Oh, my soul. And she was hanging her hat on that. She was hanging her hat on that. In Obadiah, verses 1 to 4, we see that Obadiah desires God's approval, but also he desires the approval of a man that could give him social acceptance and community prestige. A king could give you these opportunities, but not a hairy man named Elijah, girt about with a girdle of leather about his loins, a man that eats locust and wild honey, or wild locust and pure honey. That's dirty work. And sometimes the Lord's work is just that. It's dirty work. And Obadiah didn't want that. He fared sumptuously with the king. And that's what he wanted with the king. Amen. And let me tell you something. You better be careful about that. You better be careful about the velvet cross, about that silk cross today. Amen. It'll ruin you. Proverbs 23 and verse 1, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And that was Obadiah. That was Obadiah. How else could you explain Obadiah yoking up? Here's Obadiah, supposed prophet of the Lord, yoking up with one of the most wicked men that's ever walked on planet Earth, King Ahab. How else can you explain it except to say it was a man that desired social acceptance, desired the approval of man as much as he did God. He was half in, he was half out. Luke chapter 6 and verse 26 says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Is that you this morning? Is that you this morning? Let me tell you something. If the world likes you this morning, then you're like the world. And God likens the world and you likening it adultery. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. War with God, Christian. And here's Obadiah. And this is what he desired. You know, if I could ask Obadiah a question this morning, if I could ask Obadiah one question, if I had Obadiah in front of me this morning, I'd ask him this question. What in God's world were you thinking yoking up with that wicked Jezebel and Ahab who had provoked you to your finest hour and her husband who in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 30 said, God said, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him and reared up altars to Baal in the house of Baal, made a grove, and verse 33 records, did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Obadiah wanted nothing to do with the home of Elijah, the wilderness, when he could live off the past glory of serving the Lord in the king's house. What are you going to do, Christian, when your moment with God is over? Let me tell you something, Christian. Let me tell you something where God is. Let me tell you where the work of God is. You're going to have to get your hands dirty. You might even get your nose bloody. Amen? You might even get your nose bloody. Amen? You might get roughed up a little bit. You might have to take a shot for Jesus Christ. You might have to get into some scrapes. Amen. You might have to get in the dirt a little bit. That's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But too many Christians today have put velvet and silk over the cross. It is said that men like Bob Jones Sr. laid down the sawdust trail when they would build those tabernacles for Billy Sunday and such. D.L. Moody and Bob Jones Sr., they'd rear up tabernacles. They'd lay sawdust down on the way to the altar because usually the ground would be trodden and it would be muddy. So they'd lay sawdust down. So at the end of that preaching, when the gospel was put to the men that feared, and they were compelled to come to an old altar and kneel before Jesus Christ and trust Him as their personal Savior, they'd walk down a sawdust trail. It was said of Bob Jones Jr. that he carpeted the sawdust trail. That he carpeted the sawdust trail. What is it about the Christian today that seeks carpet and velvet and silk over rough sawn wood and a little bit of dirt and a little bit of mud? You see, Obadiah fared sumptuously in the king's house with the king's meat and had the king's ear. And he wanted nothing to do with that hairy man, girt about with a leathern girdle, eating wild locusts and honey. He wanted nothing to do with that man of God that God was all over and doing amazing things. And all that Obadiah had left, all that Obadiah could hang his hat on, was that one time years ago when he hid 100 prophets of God from Jezebel's bloody hands. And yet now, he sits at her table. He sits at her table. Obadiah used worldly methods to perform God's work. Amen? He used worldly methods to perform God's work. Look at verse 5 and 6 in our text in 1 Kings 18. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto the fountains of water, and unto the brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save our horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. More and more we see the world's ways being integrated into the church's ways. Churches today, as I mentioned last week, bringing in the corporate model, the corporate structure into the churches. Amen. More refined like the world, bringing the world's ways into the church. Making the church more of silk and of velvet and of carpet. And softening the Bible and taking away the quote-unquote rough edges of the Bible and not giving the people the whole counsel of God. Today's churches have gift shops in them, cafeterias, amphitheaters, box seats, Christian contemporary music. Out of the pulpit comes the social gospel, comes psychology, family psychology. People today, heaping unto themselves teachers having itching ears, are more concerned about the programs that a church has instead of what Bible the church uses. I've gotten those calls as a pastor. I've had people call me up, and they weren't interested about what doctrine I believed here or what this here or what Bible we used or anything like that. They wanted to know, what programs do you have? And that's what the church has become today. The church today is come as you are and leave the same way. The pastor today has become a used car salesman. with a sales pitch. And let me tell you what the sales pitch is. It will always be geared upon not shortening the hand of the pew sitter with regards to putting money in the bowl, putting money in the box, putting money in the offering plate. Today's evangelism, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me with the gospelist gospel, preaching on social issues, politics, preaching against abortion, which is good, but it's not all Bible. I'll tell you what, you win the young girl that's ready to murder her baby, you win her to Jesus Christ. And she's somewhere around 90% less likely to go forward with that child sacrifice than she was before. Pastors preaching on climate change. Let me tell you, there's going to be climate change. There's going to be a climate change from God, a global thermonuclear war from God that's going to melt the elements of this world and this universe like nobody's ever seen. And it's going to consume man, according to Zechariah, while they're standing on their feet. Oh, there's coming a global warming, but the preachers ain't preaching that one, are they? The preachers aren't preaching the global warming of Zechariah. The preachers aren't preaching the global warming of Revelation, are they? They're preaching on tolerance, on gay rights, on mother nature, on finances, on living wills, and on and on and on, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Old Obadiah, he had influence with man, but Elijah had power with God. Obadiah, he was liked by men. He was liked by the king, probably tolerated, but he didn't see it. Probably despised by Jezebel because she didn't even like herself, but tolerated him. Oh, he had power with man. Obadiah hung his hat on that one thing. But Elijah, that hairy man in the wilderness, had power with God. Where do you stand? Where do you stand with God? Obadiah could have been a contender. God had so much more for him. It should have been Obadiah that was going to go face to face with Ahab and render God's judgment on him. But instead it was Elijah. How about you this morning? You hanging your hat on one thing you did for God way back when? What have you done for him lately? Amen? God's got so much more for you. Don't be like Obadiah. He could have been a contender for God. How about you? Lord bless you. Might you be a blessing to him.